It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Hello. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're hanging out with you till noon. And then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Thanks, everybody, listening on 1320 AM on the radio. We appreciate you. Everybody in the chatty house, hello, good morning. That's youtube.com/ESPN1320. We're also streaming live on Twitter, currently X. We are streaming live there as well. So there's really no excuse. We're also on the free Odyssey app. We also have the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show podcast, which is this show in podcast form. There's really no excuse to not listen to all 2 hours every day, in my opinion.
Multiple times in different different platforms.
Well, I watched the show and then I went back and listened to really make sure. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I go back and if there's certain things every day that I'll just take a little note of I really liked what we did there and I'll go back and listen to it. Or I'll be like, I didn't like what we did here and I'll go back and listen to it because there's a lot of times where in the moment we'll do something and I'm like, I hated the way it's me. I'm critical of me. I hated the way I did this and I hated the way I did that. How can I do that going forward? And then I'll go back and listen to it. I'm like, nah, it wasn't that bad.
See,
it was way worse in my brain.
I'm not hypercritical and I do not go back. Even when I was at NBC, I would never go back and watch my TV hit ever.
That's fair.
That's just not me. It's okay.
916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That is the Elk Grove Kia Talk line. We have so much to dig into. The NBA trade deadline is in 1 hour and 58 minutes. Mm-hmm. The Sacramento Kings have some work to do. Whether they do that work, TBD, we'll talk about that. A bunch of movement happened in the NBA last night and this morning. We'll talk about that. But first, we got to get to Zach LaVine's debut, a 130-111 loss for the Kings against the Orlando Magic, a 19-point defeat that wasn't as close as the final score.
Oh, no. No.
And anytime you're down 30 in the fourth quarter and you're pulling your starters with 8 minutes to go, it's not great.
That could have been a 50-point loss.
Yeah.
That was not good.
Look, it's one game, and I don't want to overreact, but we host a multimedia sports talk show. So reacting to what happened is our job.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to tell you, after one game, and this is not because they lost. I understand that Orlando's a tough matchup. This is not, I don't see the vision.
Okay.
I watched it. Maybe it's first game with Zach LaVine. They're still figuring it out. And maybe everything will click into place. And the Kings offense is just going to be awesome. They're going to score 150 points a night. Okay. But as of right now, what I see is a bunch of isolation scorers trying to get their shots up. That's what their offense looks like to me, or looked like to me last night. And that has to change if they want to do anything this year.
I was so disappointed by the look of the game. I know that they're going to have defensive struggles. So that's going to be
no
a
doubt.
Thing. And when you go up against a team that at one point had Franz Wagner at 6'9", 6'10", at the shooting guard spot.
It's ridiculous.
With like a whole bunch of other 6'10" and 6'11" dudes. Like it was, they were so long and athletic that it was like, okay, like, look, that game was exactly what we complain about all the time that the Kings don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And if you needed one more reminder before the trade deadline to go get some of those players, you got it last night. You were,
yep,
like a giant magnifying glass just got shown, like, hey, this is the problem,
mm-hmm,
right? But outside of that, like, I think it was interesting that, first of all, Zach LaVine hasn't played in, like, it's like 9 days, right?
Yeah, because he was out for 3 games before being traded.
Yeah, his wife had a baby like 4 days ago and somehow made it to the game last night. No joke.
What?
He's like, my wife is crazy. I don't know what she's thinking, but she decided she's going to. She's like, oh no, I wouldn't miss this. Because they have family
That's
here local. And then.
Superhero, dude. That's incredible.
Yeah. And then they live, like their home is in Southern California, like 45-minute flight to get to his home. He kept saying it. Like, I'm so close to home. This is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the other thing. But then to watch him not know how to work a pick and roll with Domantas Sabonis was very odd to me.
Yeah.
Like, there was no feel at all. And it was like, oh, this, he kept getting the ball and like, I have the ball. Why do I have the ball right now?
I know why he played, and he should, you trade for a guy of Zach LaVine's caliber, he's going to be in the lineup.
Of course.
But as that game went on, I kept thinking to myself, maybe he shouldn't have played. Can you get a practice in? But
that's,
you played last night, you fly to Portland, you play tonight.
Game on.
You're not going to have him out two games.
Nope.
It's going to be trial by fire. So I'm expecting, like I said, I expect it to look better at some point. But I don't know that we're ever going to get back to the brand of basketball that we saw in 22-23, where it was this motion offense, running through Domantas Sabonis as the offensive hub, ball movement, finding open shots, spray threes. I don't think we're going to see a lot of that moving forward. I think what we saw last night was the start of a transition to a very different looking Kings offense.
Yeah, I think you're right. I really hope that that's not the case, because I hate that brand of basketball. Mm-hmm. Like, what I saw last night, to me, it like turned my stomach. Like, I did not want to watch. Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse than just, you know, dribble, 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 and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one guy just like ISO. And to me, it almost felt like people were trying to put like their stamp on, like, hey, this is me.
Yeah.
This is my turn. This is my team.
And I
it's like, ew.
I think the reason it jumps out, it was so glaring to me,
mm-hmm.
was the excitement for the game. There was genuine like hype around Zach LaVine is here. And as more stuff comes out about the De'Aaron Fox trade, and you start feeling more like, oh, the Kings didn't mess this up. He didn't want to be in Sacramento anymore. And that might have been because of mistakes the Kings made, but it was done. Like, there was nothing they were going to do. He wanted out.
Mm-hmm.
And the sentiment is now has shifted at least a little bit toward, okay, well, Zach LaVine's the guy now. It's Sacramento. Welcome to Zachtown, et cetera, et cetera. And Matt George on Twitter last night was like, yeah, I walk around talking to people, and it feels like an opening night. Like, there's that kind of buzz.
Oh, yeah.
And to fall flat the way they did, you lose by 8 or 10, all by the, LaVine's first game. Oh, first game back home after a long road trip. We heard that one last night on the broadcast. Mm-hmm. You hear that on every NBA broadcast, by the way. I think when you become an NBA broadcaster, you're given a booklet. And rule number one is, first game at home after a long road trip, you have to mention how hard the game is.
Yeah, I think there's a one sheet.
Yes.
Like, laminated one sheet.
Yep, and it's just, it's the box you got to check right at the top.
Yeah, right there. Yeah.
So I would have bought that if they lost by 8 or 10.
Okay.
I was not expecting them to just look flat. They just got smoked.
Yes, as much as it was flat, it was just five dudes on the court.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it just looked like, five guys who had never played together. And I think, like, in pregame, Doug was asked about this. And he said, like, very specifically, like, look, we've all played, like, out on the blacktop, and somebody's got to go home. And you just got to, like, throw another guy in so you can make a team and keep playing. Mm-hmm. He's like, we've all done this. It's not that big of a deal. But, again, like, I asked Zach LaVine last night in the locker room about, like, hey, you know, you played with Vucevic, who's a very good center, mm-hmm. and a decent passing center, and everything else. Like, just how much different is it to play with Sabonis? He goes, everything is different. He's like, the way he passes a ball, everything is so much quicker. Yeah. He's like, I just was not expecting it. And so I do think that, like, they're going to get together at shoot around, and it'll be like, hey, let's just work on the high screen and roll for like 5 minutes.
Yep.
And like, what it felt like to me is that he didn't even understand like how close to get to Sabonis, or that the ball is going to be there, or that Sabonis can rotate his hips and drop a pass to you on the, like, like, as you're coming around the screen, like, none of it. He didn't understand any of it, which I thought was really, really interesting. But again, if you haven't played in a system that does this, that's tough. And it's a little bit about learning, you know, and trying to figure guys out. Like, you know, I know you played baseball forever. Like, when I play first base, I go throw with the shortstop for, you know, mm-hmm. for 5 minutes. I go throw with the third baseman for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I know how their ball spins when they're throwing it at you from long distance. And like, so you want to get that feel. And there was just no feel at all between Sabonis and LaVine. And it just stood out. Like, he didn't know to go around the screen.
Yeah.
Then he got the ball and didn't know what to do. And then he hoisted 28 footers. You're like, what is happening? And then DeMar DeRozan's like, hey.
It was like, look what I can do.
Yeah.
Like, hey, everybody, I know Zach. Watch me. And that's what, that's that more than the, everything you just mentioned.
Yeah.
That's fixable.
Yes.
Like you said, that's it. Shoot around today. You can go, hey, when you throw this pocket pass, I like it here. Or when you set this screen, set it at this angle and then make sure you're cutting. Like, there's these little things you can do where it's just, oh, okay, got it.
Yep.
You rep it a couple times. Okay, good. This is going to look better against Portland. It was everybody else who's been here.
Yeah.
That was just shocking to me.
Like, they just forgot that Keegan Murray was on the court.
It was insane.
Absolutely wild.
They had 23 assists last night, which is not a terrible number.
It's not great, but it's not terrible.
Probably about average, maybe a little
I mean,
below.
The fact that they had 19 turnovers was, you know, but correct. Go ahead.
They had 7 of their 23 assists came from Isaac Jones, Colby Jones, and Devin Carter.
Wow.
7 of their 23 assists came in garbage time.
Those 16 assists, like, I was counting and watching, like, why are they not passing the ball at all? Yep. No one. And it did not help that Malik Monk got in early foul trouble. And then mm-hmm. it now shines the other bright light, like, oh, boy, you don't have another point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's not good at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now what are you going to do? You traded an all-star-level point guard, and, like, once you get past Malik Monk, in addition to trading that all-star-level point guard, you traded Jordan McLaughlin. So now you don't have another point guard, and that was another thing that just stood out, like, oh, no.
Two things. I want to put a pin in that.
Okay, that's fine.
The Kings starters last night had 12 assists and 14 turnovers. Oh.
Yeah.
Yikes. But I said on this show yesterday, and I said on the internet, I feel like in 2025, you don't necessarily need a point guard.
Okay.
You just need someone who can, like, bring the ball up the floor and initiate the offense. I get what people mean now when they say, oh, you need another point guard. You may not need a point guard in the traditional sense, but you need a person who can, like what Mike Conley does for the Timberwolves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mike Conley is 50, but he just goes out there. He knows where to go on the court when they're discombobulated, to use your word. And Anthony Edwards is just throwing stuff at the rim. They give it to Mike Conley. He brings the ball out the court. And he settles everything down. He gets everybody where they need to be, and he initiates the offense. Kind of calm, settle this down.
You know
that's Malik, and the Kings, when he's off the floor, don't have that guy.
No. You know how old Mike Conley is?
50.
He played in college with Greg Oden,
who was 50 in college.
In college. That was all the way back in the Kevin Durant.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. By the way, we give away after every Kings game, we give you the opportunity to win a Jiffy Lube gift certificate, a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate. Are you wearing the right hoodie today?
No, I'm wearing the other hoodie.
The old school hoodie. All right, that's fine.
Retro.
We have a exclusive insider's hoodie you can only get if you work here or if you win this contest. James is wearing last year's right now. This year, shout out to our guy Jim. The design's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Still love it, though. You can get it in red. You can get it in blue. You can get it in black. And again, that's courtesy of our friends at Jiffy Lube, along with the $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate. All you have to do to win those two things, you go to ESPN1320.com. You'll see the Jiffy Lube contest page. It's front and center. You can't miss it. And you're going to enter the keyword deadline. Today's word is deadline. That's all one word, D-E-A-D, line, L-I-N-E. All one word,
mm-hmm.
because the trade deadline is in an hour and 45 minutes.
That's right.
And that's the focus today. Deadline at ESPN1320.com at the Jiffy Lube contest page. Win a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and an exclusive insider's hoodie. Thank you, everybody, for your entries. And if you, when you come in to pick up your hoodie, let us know you're coming.
Yeah, say hi.
We'll hang out.
Yeah, Tyler Griner came and said hi to us.
Tyler Jennings?
Jennings, my bad.
Tyler Jennings pulled up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyways, that's our Jiffy Lube contest. We're going to be giving away flowers later, too.
That's true.
Yeah, let's take a look at the deadline. The Kings finally got a backup center for Domantas Sabonis.
Excellent.
Who's not Alex Len.
That's true.
So the Kings got a little bit better yesterday. And then Davion Mitchell got traded. And that doesn't matter. He went to the Heat. The most Miami Heat player in the league finally made it to the Miami Heat.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a Kings slant to that trade that really highlights what we've been talking about with the front office.
Yep.
And with Monty McNair and with Wes Wilcox and all those guys. So we'll dive into all of that. We'll be following the trade deadline as well. Any NBA trade that happens, we'll cover it live here for you. And we'll cover some of the bigger moves that happened last night in the West. You got something?
No, I'm just laughing at the chat.
Okay, good. Shout out to the chat. We love them very much. Join us in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320. He's James Hamm. I'm ComAds, and we're the Insiders. And Jiffy Lube sponsors this program on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Hitter.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James is over there. Oh, hey, here we go. James is over there. I'm Kyle. We were not live on the radio. That's fine. The music was playing, so hope everybody enjoyed that. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're hanging out with you until noon. Jiffy Lube sponsors the show. That's a good fade. I am just crushing it over here today. We'll dive back into the Kings' loss to the Magic a little bit later. News broke before the game, however, that Sacramento was involved in another trade. The CD Sissoko era is over.
Yeah, he did get a press conference in. Well, yeah, he got a media sesh.
Little press scrum after practice. He was dealt along with 2 second-round picks to the Washington Wizards for Jonas Valanciunas, a move that we've been eyeing since last offseason when he was a free agent.
Yeah.
We know his connection to Domas via the Lithuanian national team. We have seen him and Domas battle 6 times last year when the Pelicans and Kings played. He is now in a Kings uniform. I know that we've both been for this type of deal. How does he fit into what the Kings are doing?
Yeah. Okay, so just the structure of it, so we get that out of the way first. The Kings traded, they absorbed Valanciunas' contract into their mid-level exception. So they had a $12.8 million mid-level exception. This is the first year that you can actually use a mid-level to trade, and the Kings actually acquired him using that mid-level exception.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So they still have their $16.8 million mid-level exception. Right?
Trade exception.
They also, they sent CD Sissoko in a different deal, basically. It's part of the same trade, but basically they'll get like a $2.1 million trade exception for CD, which doesn't really matter.
Sure.
But what that did is the Kings had $10.5 million below the luxury tax before that trade. That wiped out $8 million of that. They're now within $2.5 million of the luxury tax and I think $6 million total of the hard cap. So they've shrunk down what they can do outside of that trade without it being a net positive trade for them as far as like losing salary cap going out and losing salary going out and taking back less, right? So what I like about Valanciunas is he's tough. He rebounds. He's a huge man. Like he's
large person.
He eats up a lot of space in the key. And when you run into teams like the Memphis Grizzlies or the Denver Nuggets and they roll out some gigantic human being that you can't match up against, you now have somebody who's bigger than Sabonis. I think he's 6'11", 7 foot. Like, he's not way taller. He's just a much bigger dude. And he's super tough. I mean, everyone knows here in Sacramento what they did to the Kings last year, with him as part of the Pelicans when they went 6-0 against the Kings. And a lot of that's just the physicality that he plays with. When he rolled through with Washington, what, 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago, whatever, like the days all blend together at this point. What are you, 23-11? He's a very, very talented starting level center that's on a reasonable deal. I think it's 9.9 this year, 10.5 million next year, and then there's a team option for right around 10 million the year after that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a big guy who's tough, who's mean. Everyone knows, you know, he's the guy who that pulled Chimezie Metu off the rim, and Chimezie fell and broke his wrist. And so, like, this is a guy who is no nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also a guy that's played a ton throughout his life, not just his, like, his, you know, international play,
mm-hmm.
but with Domas. They've known each yeah. other. Domas told me in the locker room last night that he's known Domas, he's known Jonas his whole life.
Wow.
He said, like, I've known him, like, I've never not been where there's yeah. not a Jonas Valanciunas in his life. So he's sure. known him forever. And then there was this interesting thing that happened within the in the locker room where Domas came in, he came in, got his shoes on, was going to go out and do his pregame mm-hmm. workout. And I said, can I ask you about Jonas? He's like, well, I don't think the trade's happened yet. And I'm like, oh, you're right. He goes out,
yeah,
he works out.
He can't comment.
He can't comment because it yeah. hasn't happened. He goes out. While he's out working out on the court, the trade goes through, and then I was able to interview him nice. Afterwards for, yeah. you know, like me, Jason Anderson, and Chris Biederman
sure.
stood there and peppered him with questions about Jonas. And
yeah.
yeah, good stuff. You can find it on my Twitter handle. But yeah, I think he's going to help.
Yeah, at least I hope so. I want to get into how he can help, but real quick, some minor breaking news out of the NBA. According to ESPN's Shams Charania, the Phoenix Suns are trading Yusuf Nurkic and a 2026 first-round pick to the Charlotte Hornets for Cody Martin, Vasily Micic, and a 2026 second-round pick. So Yusuf Nurkic is no longer on the books for Phoenix. Mm. They have acquired Cody Martin and Vasily Micic along with a 2026 second-round pick.
I got to be honest, I would have loved to have had Cody Martin and Micic.
Either Martin twin would have been great.
Yeah, but that deal specifically, when we talk about the fact that they don't have point guard depth,
mm-hmm.
I just think that that would have been an interesting addition. But yeah.
So that's the latest in the NBA trade deadline. Back to Jonas Valanciunas. I don't think Phoenix is much of a factor. That's why I don't want to spend that much time on that deal.
Yeah.
I mean... Micic is the basketball blogger's favorite player. Cody Martin's a good wing, but that doesn't move the needle much for me with Phoenix. Unless it's setting the table for something bigger.
Hmm.
Anyways, I'm interested to see with Valanciunas, A, if he and Domas ever play together. I think it's an option in some circumstances.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's something they're going to go to a lot.
I think if you can get 3 minutes a half of them playing together, that would be great. I'm not sure that you can do that.
No, but if you're in a scenario where you're playing Milwaukee and you've just got nothing for Brooke Lopez and Giannis, it just gives you two bigger bodies to throw on the court. I like trying that, and maybe it doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
But I like trying that in a scenario where you need it way more than I like trying Alex Len with Domas.
Yeah, and I think the one thing I will point to is that they've played together a ton in international play, mm-hmm. so they have, but international play is different. They're, you know, again, three in the key rules and all that stuff are totally different. There isn't a lot of big men that are running around the perimeter shooting threes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where you're going to have a lot of problems. I don't think that Jonas Valanciunas can defend mobile centers.
That's the thing
perimeter.
Is he's not a great defender.
Yeah,
he's okay.
Yeah,
but he's not this eraser, defensive five.
I would definitely say he's not a shot blocker, like a traditional shot blocker, but he is a gigantic person in the key, and he's a very good rebounder. And, you know, like I think that you didn't get just way better defensively, but when you're looking at the team that you had before, he is an upgrade. And not only that, but
1,000%.
And I keep, like, people forget that for some reason, that there is a world in which Domantas Sabonis gets injured and is not able to play 82 games or 81 sure. or 80 games a sure. season, you now have a legitimate center that can step in, mm-hmm. who can run some of the same stuff, who is a huge screen setter, like a very, very tough dude. And mm-hmm. so I like the addition. Again, it's a little steep to pay $10 million a year for a guy who's going to play between, let's say, 12 and 18 minutes tonight.
Sure.
But you also got better. You got bigger. You got, you know, we talk about this team just needs length and athleticism. Valanciunas is again, if you're going to go up against the Pelicans three times in the next four games after tonight, mm-hmm. He's a guy that you can put out there and just, you know, he knows exactly where Zion's going. And you don't want to get him caught in space with Zion, but mm-hmm. he certainly can give Zion problems.
Sure.
And so it's just another added gigantic human being.
And to your point about he might play 18 minutes a night, he was playing 20 a night for Washington and averaging 11.5 and 8.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to be productive in the minutes that he's on the court. And that's just something the Kings have been missing. Is this going to turn them into finals contenders? No. But in terms of making their roster better?
Mm-hmm.
This makes a roster better.
No, I think so, too.
Pretty significantly.
Yeah. No, I agree. And then you also have to remember that, you know, not only has he played with Sabonis, but he also played six seasons in Toronto with DeMar DeRozan.
Mm, mm-hmm.
So this is another player that knows, you know, some of the guys around him and knows how to play with them. That's yep. a good thing.
Yep. No doubt. Davion Mitchell got traded as well from the Toronto Raptors to the Miami Heat.
Mm-hmm.
And our guy Greg Wissinger,
yeah.
Wissinger, on Blue Sky noted this, and this is why the Davion Mitchell trade matters. So the Kings traded Davion Mitchell, Sasha Vezenkov, and a second rounder to the Raptors for Jalen McDaniels. They then traded Jalen McDaniels with a second round pick to the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
So they attached a second round pick to move the player that they sent two players and a pick out for.
Yes.
Sasha Vezenkov took a zero money to leave the NBA. Left the NBA for free.
The only reason that you gave up money, you gave up picks in that deal was because of Sasha Vezenkov's money.
Correct.
Like, you could have easily traded, if you wanted, Davion Mitchell straight up for Jalen McDaniels. You probably could have got something back
yeah.
in that transaction.
You but probably because, could have acquired the second.
Yeah. Because you were hoping to dump, you know, Sasha's salary.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Sasha goes and just opts out. Like, that's where the, like, I know hindsight is 20/20.
Sure.
You probably should have known whether he was going to opt out or not. But in that transaction alone, you wasted 3 second-round picks.
Yes. And then, Toronto, today, traded Davion Mitchell to Miami and acquired a second-round pick.
Yeah. Tucker and a second-round pick, right?
They acquired a second-round pick to both get and give Davion Mitchell. There's levels to this front office thing, and there's levels to asset acquisition.
Yeah.
And when Monty McNair talks about how, they finally have the assets to make these moves, it's like, well, yeah, you finally have them because you just gave them away.
Yeah, that's the toughest part. You know, again, like the Chris Duarte trade. They traded yep. 2 second-round picks to get Chris Duarte. They traded 2 second-round picks to get rid of Chris Duarte. So that's 4. And let's just go back, like, the 2023 draft, right? That's
please.
The 2023 draft, right afterwards they acquired Duarte, right? On draft night, they gave up their 2023 the number 24 overall pick in the draft, their first round pick, to get rid of the contract of Rashawn Holmes. So all of these accumulations, again, it's like it's death by 1,000 paper cuts. Like, and it's all like, you can't say, well, we now have all these picks. It's like, well, you had all those picks a year and a half ago, but you squandered them then.
Right. You don't get to start a fire and then grab the fire extinguisher and put it out and take credit for putting out the fire.
Yes.
Hey, I'm...
And you probably shouldn't have had to trade your best player in order to get the picks that you needed. Now, he wants to go, okay, whatever. That's where we're at now with the De'Aaron Fox conversation.
It's abundantly clear there was no path forward in Sacramento for De'Aaron Fox.
No, but you were careening towards that because you didn't do the...
Correct.
You didn't use those picks and other things to go get players that mattered.
Yeah.
Like, again, this front office has used picks to get out from underneath their own mistakes.
Yeah.
Whether it's Sasha Vezenkov or it's, you know,
and
whatever.
And I actually don't hate the idea of doing that because I think that's what happens with a lot of front offices across sports. You see this in the NFL a lot, certainly, where a team will make a mistake and then instead of admitting that mistake and taking extraordinary measures to correct it, they just ride it out. And that begets other mistakes and all of a sudden... you've taken five steps backwards.
Sunk cost fallacy, right?
Right. Yeah. The 49ers with DeForest Buckner is a good example. They traded DeForest Buckner when they probably shouldn't have. They drafted Javon Kinlaw. That didn't work out for them at all. Not an effective NFL player. So they let Kinlaw walk and then just threw a bunch of money at Javon Hargrave. To like, hey, we need a high quality defensive tackle here. We're throwing more money at it that we didn't want to, but hey, you know what? We're here. What you can't do is do that all of the time.
Yes.
And that's what it felt like the Kings were slash are doing. Is just everything is it's a snowball of mistakes. And doing it once, okay, good. Doing it 2, 3, 4, 5 times, where now to get those picks back, you have to trade your best player.
It's not
that's
easy.
Tough.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's not easy. This is a very difficult job.
Yes, and I will also say, like, there are times when you're like, hey, at least they were able to get out from underneath that money, right? Like, again, the Rashawn Holmes thing. It's like, okay, that's okay, you know, it costs you, but again, Olivier Maxens Prosper, like, it's not like you gave up, like, a top 12 pick or something.
Sure.
So you're hoping that you're able to recover from those things, but what you can't do is continuously do it, and it's like... All right, we don't have any draft capital. It's like, why don't you have any draft capital? Because you kept making these small mistakes and then using draft capital to get out from underneath those mistakes. And so it became like almost the norm as opposed to a situation that happened on occasion. And that's what happens. That's how you run out of draft capital. And again, you went out in the De'Aaron Fox trade and picked up, you know, the equivalent of 5 first round picks, right? You just used 2 of those to go get Valanciunas.
5 second round picks.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. 5 second round picks. And you just used 2 of those to go get Valanciunas. That's why you need those second round picks, because if you are a team that's like a fringe playoff team and there are players out there that can help your roster, you have to have the assets to go get those players. Mm-hmm. And the Kings just haven't. They did not. They, like we talked about, they had 1 second round pick coming into this trade deadline. They had, you know, 27, 28, 29, 30, and 31 first round picks, but 1 second round pick, and you don't want to give up first round picks because you don't have seconds.
Yeah.
That's not a good business model.
Not at all.
So like 1 first round pick, even a late first round pick, is the equivalent of like 3 or 4 or even 5 second round picks.
And in the modern NBA with first aprons and second aprons, you're seeing more teams moving like decent players for not a lot because they're just trying to get under a second apron or under a first apron or under the tax line. And having those picks could be the difference between, yeah, hey, your roster on the fringes is very good and your roster on the fringes is not very good.
No, I totally agree. Like the lack of depth on this team, it did not get way better in the last couple of days.
Not at all. We'll take some of your calls at the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. We'll take those calls next. If you do give us a buzz, we can't put calls on hold, and it'll just ring for a while. So if you get bored, hang up and try and call back, but we can only have one person on the line at a time.
Yep.
And when we pick up the phone, we're going to call you Don. So if you hear Don, we're talking to you.
That's right.
All right. We got more trade deadline to get to. A lot of stuff happened in the West. Are the Kings going to make any more moves? And if they do make another move, what would you like to see them do? Because there's a couple of different directions they can go. We'll discuss all of that next. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 and Sacramento Sports Center. This is absurd. Hang on.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'll get to some of your calls here at the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. I was just looking up, there's more to defense than blocks, but I was just looking up block numbers here. Victor Wembanyama leads the NBA with 162 blocks. Brooke Lopez and Walker Kessler are tied for second with 92. The difference between Victor Wembanyama and Brooke Lopez at 1 and 2 is the same as the difference between Brooke Lopez and Jordan Poole at number 113.
That's wild.
That's insanity.
Yeah, that's wild.
Julian Champagne also has 22 blocks this year. That's absurd. That is so absurd. Anyways, the Oak Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Let's get to Jason, and then we can talk about trades around the West. Jason, what's going on?
How you doing? So I guess today is a great day to go get a Valanciunas jersey. And is Valanciunas playing tonight, James? Do we know?
We don't know for sure, but the way that his deal was completed yesterday, I'm going to guess that yes, he is. I mean, because it was around like 6 o'clock yesterday. Both players, him and CD Sissoko, have to clear their medicals, but I would be surprised if he's at least not in uniform for the Kings tonight.
Okay. And I got a quick question. Huh. I know you guys are talking about, it's not a possible, it's very little possibility that Sabonis and Valanciunas will play on the same court. I mean, same time on the court. Is it possible that they might experiment now, right now, instead of if they're in dire need to win a game, you know, put both of them out? I mean, do you see that?
Thanks, Jason.
Yeah. Okay. So I think what you're asking, if like they're just going to like in the middle of a game versus at the end of games.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Like, look, I think it's going to be like a test it out and see how it goes type deal. And see if you can have them on the court on, at the same time. But also, as long as Trey Lyles is on this team, there is going to be times where Trey still plays a small ball five, because yep, the Kings can move faster and just play an up-tempo style, which is what they want to do with Trey Lyles on the court.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think it's going to be like a mix and match thing. And also, Trey Lyles can play alongside Sabonis. He can play alongside Valanciunas, but he also has to still be on the roster an hour and 13 minutes from now. And as the one lone, like, middle of the road contract and $8 million expiring contract, he might be the vehicle that the Kings use to go get like the lengthy, 3-4 that they're looking for.
Let's get to, we have another trade in the NBA. The Cleveland Cavaliers have dealt DeAndre Hunter, have acquired DeAndre Hunter from the Atlanta Hawks for Caris LeVert, George Niang, 3 second-round picks, and 2 pick swaps. Cleveland's in a weird spot because they're obviously very good. What are they, 41-10?
Yeah, they're very good.
They're awesome. But adding a scorer like DeAndre Hunter might be able to help come playoff time. Do you just stick with the same roster? I don't think they're better than Boston. So I think you had to kind of make a move, but I don't know that this puts you in that stratosphere.
Yeah.
But I respect trying to do something.
I agree. I do think that like DeAndre Hunter is a very good young player. Mm-hmm. He's averaging 19 points a game this year. And he's played in 37 games, which is shocking, but 19 points per game in only 28.8 minutes, shooting 39.3% from three. He doesn't do a lot of other things, but I do like the idea of him. It's just like throughout his career, he just has not played.
Yeah.
Like he just can't stay healthy. And I believe he's owed quite a bit of money. This is kind of a coup for them to get. Yeah. $23.3 million next year, $24.9 million the year after that. For a player who, like, realistically plays, I don't know if it's 60% of the games. I mean, played 57 last year, 67 the year before, 53, 23, 63. He's a guy who has missed a ton of. He's only at 300 games played in his sixth NBA season.
Tough.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can get healthy, though. Yeah. Would love to see somebody in the East challenge Boston.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think anyone's. Cleveland is very good. I don't know that they're beating Boston in a seven game series. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320 is the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Let's get to the world's best Mitch. Mitch in New Jersey, what's going on?
Green guys. Salutations. How you guys doing?
Salutations, Mitch. What's up?
Yeah. What about Cam, Zion, and even the center from Portland, DeAndre Ayton? Uh-huh. I don't think those guys have a lot of leverage. Just be a little aggressive now that they wouldn't give up too much. And I got a sneaky feeling that San Antonio, they will make the playoffs. They'll wind up getting Cooper Flagg or the two guys from Rutgers. What do you think? And thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Mitch.
Mm.
I don't think the Kings are making a big splash in the trade market.
I don't think they're, I don't think they're making a big splash. Like, they've been trying to do things, I just don't know that they're going to be able to do something, like, bigger than, you know, again, something that's reasonably small. Like, they might be able to add some depth right here, but remember, they're $2.5 million under the luxury tax and $6 million under the hard cap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can take back a contract using one of their trade exceptions. It gets them all the way up to like $6 million, but they can't go over that. And I don't even know that they can do that because they have to, they're still at 13 roster spots right now. They still have to add to the roster. And so it's going to get a little dicey, a little difficult with their current, you know, salary situation.
In the West last night, before the Kings started, just before the Kings started, Jimmy Butler was traded to the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors get Jimmy Butler, Andrew Wiggins, and Kyle Anderson, along with PJ Tucker, and then picks go to Miami. Utah wound up with Dennis Schroeder. And Detroit wound up with Lindy Waters III and Josh Richardson. Does that move the needle for you at all?
Not really. For me, not only did you trade for Jimmy Butler, but then you gave him the like $110 million extension.
Two and 121, I think it was.
Something like that. I don't know the exact.
Massive extension.
Well, and that puts him under contract for 4 years. 3 years after this season. I'm just not like going out in a blaze of glory with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, they're in a weird spot. Like, you watch them smoke a, what was it? What did I tell you? 11-point lead in 3 minutes against a Jazz team that's actively trying to lose, and Lauri Markkanen wasn't playing.
Yeah, that's not great.
Right, so they just needed players who know how to close basketball games and win basketball games, and they acquired him without giving up any of major future assets. The pick they gave up is top 10 protected, I believe, this year, top 10 protected next year, and then unprotected in 27.
Mm.
So there's a chance that conveys this year, where they hold all their future assets. They didn't trade any young players. And I believe their books are clear in 27, 28. That's when Curry, Butler, and Green will all come off their books.
Okay.
So I get the vision, but in terms of making them contenders or making them a factor in the West, I just don't. They needed to do something, and doing it without giving up any major assets is a significant deal. Wiggins is having a really good year.
Yeah.
That's a tough loss. But when I look around, when I look at OKC, because that's the standard, right? Are they competing with OKC?
No.
I don't think so.
No. And I don't know how that works at all. I mean, it could be that they like take off and they're really good from here on out.
Sure.
I'm not convinced of anything when it comes to Jimmy Butler. The only thing I'm convinced is that when you're done with Jimmy Butler, your franchise is on fire.
It's 0-5 or whatever he is now.
Yep.
Sixers, Timberwolves, Bulls, Heat. Is it just a four?
Philly?
Sixers, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Sixers, Wolves, Bulls, Heat.
Something like that.
Yeah, really, especially since apparently he didn't want to sign an extension with the Warriors, and now he does.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, they had to pivot very quickly when Kevin Durant told them he was not going to go play for them.
Yes. But yeah, I think Golden State is probably better now. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. I don't know how much.
Yeah.
They're about 500. They are 500 right now, 25 and 25. It's interesting.
It'll be
fascinating to watch.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, but outside of that, like, interesting, it doesn't mean it's good.
Sure. Yeah. No doubt. The more potentially impactful trade was the one that happened later with the Lakers acquiring Mark Williams, the center from the Hornets, mm-hmm. in exchange for Dalton Connect, Cam Reddish, and a 2031 unprotected first and a 2030 pick swap. When Mark Williams is healthy, he's very good.
Oh, he's awesome when he's healthy.
The problem is he played 84 games in 3 years.
Yeah. But
the Lakers needed a center after trading Anthony Davis, and Mark Williams isn't like this incredible defender, but if he needed a center, there were worse players you could go get.
Yeah, plus he's 23 years old, and you got him under team control and all that stuff. Again, the issue is he hasn't been able to still stay healthy. When he is healthy, mm-hmm. I think he's a tremendous player. He doesn't space the floor or do anything of like a modern-day center, but he can get you blocks. He can, he's kind of like the vision of what Andrew Bynum was, like what he was supposed to be. And he can, I think he can play. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just whether or not you can fit him into your system and whether he can, you can duct tape him together and keep him together, to keep him on the court for anything more than, half the season.
The Lakers are so annoying. Like, it's not that there, it just, I went from, okay, this is they're having a nice start to the year, and they might be a playoff team, but they're not going to really be a factor. To not only will they be a factor this year, or could they be a factor this year?
Mm-hmm.
They're now set up for the next decade as well.
Yeah, probably.
God.
Yeah, it's annoying, right?
I hate it.
Yeah, me too.
We didn't really even get to talk about the Luka stuff, but I don't want to rehash all that. I'm sure you and I have the same thoughts everyone else does.
Well, that, and we have an hour until the deadline, and we have to see what happens between now and then.
Yeah. Kyle Kuzma also went to the Bucks. We didn't talk about that yesterday.
Chris Middleton.
That's the thing. Is here at the deadline, nobody's messing with the Celtics or the Cavs in the East.
Nope.
It's very clear. Those are maybe the Knicks. I'll throw the Knicks in as a wild card. Nobody's messing with those three teams in the East. I don't think anybody's messing with Oklahoma City in the West.
No, I mean, I'm surprised we haven't seen something from Memphis. We haven't seen anything from Denver yet at all. Like, teams that are close to in the running and could possibly make a move here, they aren't pushing to do something. And I get the Rockets not wanting to move because they have their young core, and it's like, hey, we know we're just not there yet. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Or if we need to see if we're there yet with what we already have, mm-hmm. and just organic growth is going to be like really good. But I'm intrigued to see why some of these other teams, again, the Clippers, mm-hmm. like super quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of teams, like the Suns are tearing it down a bit. Like, they're doing some moves to save money because they're mm-hmm. so far above the luxury tax.
Yeah.
So you're seeing them do some like peripheral things.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it all works out in the end, but I don't think they're done moving.
I don't think so either. You know what I'm not done doing is making lineups on Underdog with Underdog Daily Fantasy, because Underdog's Pick'em game is super easy. I just made my first lineup for the big game, Chiefs and Eagles. I don't have it in front of me right now, but it's the first of many, many lineups. I believe it's Juju Smith-Schuster, higher than 1.5 receptions. It is Harrison Butker, higher than half a missed field goal, and Jake Elliott, the Eagles kicker, higher than 2.5 extra points made. I need the Eagles to score 3 touchdowns with 3 extra points. I feel so good about that one. I feel very good about that lineup. And you can play along, because Underdog Fantasy, you just pick 2 or more players, you pick higher or lower on their stats, and it is that easy to win up to 1,000 times your entry. Underdog's the best place to play. Pick them. Download the app, sign up with promo code KYLEM, and deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code KYLEM. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncbgambling.org. All right. What do the Kings need to do in the final hour before the trade deadline? A point guard? A small forward? Power forward? We'll talk about it all next, right here on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.